T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Los Angeles Lakers. The Los Angeles Lakers, after being in a quote-unquote scare against the Portland Trailblazers, after falling down 1-0 against the Portland Trailblazers, the 8th seed, everybody started to sort of write off LeBron James. And I feel like we tend to do this a lot, and we do this every single year with LeBron James, and the narrative starts to get constructed that he doesn't have enough talent around him, or LeBron James isn't capable of being really a guy that'll take over the game from a scoring standpoint. We know LeBron loves to get guys involved so early, and he's almost hiding it behind everything. And that's something that I think we get caught up in a lot, because every single time we do that, and I really learned that this time, every single time we do that, here comes LeBron James. And we know every year in the playoffs, LeBron James hits his full zero dark 30 mode. You know, he shuts off his social media. He focuses solely on basketball, which I'm sure he does all year round, but he makes it more a point during the playoffs. And last night, we saw him elevate that to another level after he did the same thing on Saturday night. And they find themselves up 3-1 over the Portland Trailblazers now. And this is something where it was just a few days ago. Just a few days ago, where we were thinking, wow, LeBron James, is he going to go down as a one seed? His first time in the Western Conference against this quote-unquote extremely underdog and maybe the greatest eight seed ever, just because Portland obviously has a superstar in Damian Lillard, has a really good player in CJ McCollum, and they got healthy. They got a lot of guys back. They got Nurkic, the third best player, back in this playoffs. And what I really learned last night is every time LeBron James is questioned, every time LeBron James is challenged, he'll prove to us he's still the best player in the world. He's still the best player on this planet. And nothing's going to change that. Now, your narrative might change a little bit when LeBron has a 15-10-10 game and he wants to be this triple-double chaser that we like to say. But in reality, LeBron does what he thinks gives his team the best chance to win. And I think when he realized they went down 1-0, that it was time to turn things back up. And this is a team that, like, let's be real. The Lakers from top to bottom aren't that incredibly talented. LeBron James and Anthony Davis, those are superstar pillars you build around. So yes, that is something where the narrative starts to get constructed. But we can't time and time again get caught up in this whole, oh, LeBron's starting to get washed. LeBron isn't the guy that we think he is when it comes to these big games. He hides in shadows. So I'm going to be honest with you. And being in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Oakland, the two cities that the Warriors have played in over the last few years, more recently obviously moving to San Francisco, very familiar with LeBron James coming to town. Very familiar with LeBron James coming to town. And last night, I couldn't help but get flashbacks of that Game 7 from 2016. Because LeBron James turns on another notch that he has within him that is all-worldly, that of course the best player in the world should always possess. But it's a level where, I mean, they went off to a 15-0 run to start the game last night. LeBron didn't even play 30 minutes, put up 30, 10, and 6. It's like this guy gets bored and starts to change. Okay, what type of basketball do I want to play tonight? Do I want to be LeBron the point forward? Do I want to be the LeBron that was the guy that we saw in 2007 with Cleveland that carried a bunch of outcasts to the finals? Because this guy scored wherever he wanted. That's what I learned last night, and I think I learned that over the weekend too. LeBron James, no matter what you say, will still prove to us that he is the best player on the planet. And there's no question about that. There's no question about that. Another thing that I learned over the weekend, and I'm going to harp on a lot of NBA playoff stuff probably throughout the show because that's kind of the thing that's in the limelight right now. The NBA playoffs is obviously in the forefront of the sports world because it's in their postseason, and it's obviously probably the second most important sport behind the NFL, which I'll talk about that in about 15 minutes here, what we're going to learn from the NFL in coming weeks. But while I'm focusing on the NBA playoffs and what else I've learned, I think there's something that we're going to learn tonight. So I just talked about what I did learn the last few days. Now I'm going to talk about what I think I'm for sure going to learn tonight. And I don't know if I'm going to have an answer, but I'm going to learn what the reality of the Los Angeles Clippers is going to be and what the future of the Dallas Mavericks is going to be. And I know that's a lot to say off one game, but it's really a series swinging game. And it's two teams that obviously possess maybe two of the top five players in the world right now. That's Kawhi Leonard and Luka Doncic. Now, at this very moment, I can't tell you what is going to happen because I've seen different Clipper teams show up every single night in this series. And the guy that really is going to have me most telling of who he now is Paul George. Paul George is a guy that in his last three games in this series, he scored 11 points per game on 21% shooting. Like, this is a guy that the Clippers monumentally shifted their future to bring him in. The second Kawhi Leonard told the Clippers, I'm signing with you. Well, he actually asked for a promise. If I sign with you, you better go get Paul George. And the Clippers pretty much mortgaged their entire future, which you should. And you have Kawhi Leonard, who was obviously the best player on the planet last year of that season, defeating your Golden State Warriors. Yeah, as sad as that was, Kawhi Leonard's able to make those moves. And when you have Kawhi Leonard coming in, you have to, and I mean you have to listen to him. He wanted them to do anything in their power to get Paul George. And it took a heavy load of draft picks and giving away a young star in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who obviously has helped storm the Oklahoma City Thunder back 2-2 with the Houston Rockets. And I know it's a controversial series for us in the Bay Area, especially you Warrior fans. I think you guys are finding yourself rooting for Chris Paul, which you never thought you would. Because I think it's obvious that there's a lot more hate for James Harden and the Rockets than there is for Chris Paul as an individual. Anyways, back to the point. Paul George tonight. If I had to lean on making a prediction on what Paul George is going to be tonight or who Paul George is going to be tonight, I would like to hope it's that big bounce back game. Now, here's the thing. If Paul George comes out and shoots at this 20% range that he's been shooting, puts up less than 15 points like we've been seeing him do, play like this, exact opposite of the perennial all-star he was, if he plays like he's a guy that shouldn't even be on the floor anymore, that is an absolute burden to his team, then I think it's very telling that Paul George is exactly, and he is exactly, who the whole media and social media says he is. The guy that, why do we call him Playoff P? The guy that, why doesn't he show up in these big games? That he's so overrated. He's not a star. He's always been carried because he plays great in the regular season. He doesn't show up in the playoffs. He's the guy that got sent home. Sent home by Dame Lillard. The guy that didn't even show up. Didn't even show up when Oklahoma City was playing Utah a couple years ago. A infant in Donovan Mitchell a couple years ago. So that's what I think I'm going to learn tonight. I'm going to learn who Paul George really is. I don't know the exact answer right now, but I know tonight, when that game finishes, I will. 888-957-9570. That's the question. This is the theme of the day. Learning. It's learning. Since the return of sports, what have you learned? What are you waiting to still learn about? And also, is there anything on the docket very soon that you think will be very telling of something? 888-957-9570. I'm Nash Solomon. This is the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. I'm here from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. leading you into the morning show. Stay here all hour. Stay here all day. Stay locked on right here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
No, sir, no Stephen Langford today. Nash Solomon filling in for nice guy Stephen. I'm here all week, 5 to 6 a.m., leading the pregame show. And the thing that I've been talking about for the last 15 minutes or so is the theme of today's show. And the theme of today's show, in honor of it being back to school season, which I wasn't even aware of, obviously not in school anymore. So I wanted to make this about learning. I wanted to make the theme of the show, in honor of school being back, about learning. What have you learned since sports has returned? What are you still waiting to learn? And what do you think is on the docket very soon that you know will be very telling of something, that you know you will have an answer? That's 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That's the Chill Not By text line. That's where you can give me your response. That's where you can tell me what you've learned and what you're trying to learn. I see people from the 408 already tapping in. The 408, they're coming down my road, because I said in the first segment, what I've learned is that when LeBron James questioned or challenged, he will prove to us once again, right when we forgot about him, that he's still, maybe not forgot him, right when we wrote him off. Right when we wrote him off, he will prove to us time and time again that he's still the best player on the planet. And the 408 is saying, someone in love with LeBron. Well, I'm glad you kind of sent that message, because full disclosure, I do love LeBron James, and he's probably my favorite basketball player of all time. I think the generation that I grew up watching most about basketball the last two decades has shown that he's the best player of my lifetime, at least like throughout the 2000s, throughout the 2010s. Like, LeBron James, in my opinion, that's been my favorite player to watch. Maybe he's the best, maybe he's not. He's been my most favorite player to watch. And the reason that I wanted to make today's show lead off with what I've learned in that thing I learned was about LeBron was because I, too, was somebody that was subject to thinking, man, LeBron's no longer that guy that would drop 30 in a playoff game and put the team on his back when he needs to. He turned into the guy that was, he's going to age really well. He's still going to be a perennial all-star. He'll still be a top five, top 10 player in the world for the next few years. But I don't know if he still can carry a team completely on his back. It felt like he was relying on Anthony Davis really hard. And that's why last night, obviously the game of the night, on Kobe Day, 8-24, I know you guys saw the score was 24-8. Kobe watching somewhere in their Black Mamba jerseys. That LeBron James really just set the mood. He set the tone for the moment. He arrived in that moment. So yes, 408, in some ways you are right. Like, I do love LeBron James, but I was starting to fall away from him being that guy that we're so used to seeing. And that's why last night was so vital and learning who LeBron still is. And another thing that I said, that on this theme of today's show, it's all about learning what we've learned in sports since his return, what we plan on still learning, what do we hope to learn. One thing tonight that'll be very telling, it's going to be the game of the night. I mean, we got Luka Doncic squaring up against Kawhi Leonard after Luka's probably shot of the year so far, definitely game of the year so far. That step back 30-footer three in overtime, pretty much the moment of his career that we'll forever probably look back on and be like, man, that was the moment that Luka arrived. Even though it should come by no surprise that he's making these plays, because Luka Doncic, since the second he walked into the NBA, has been phenomenal. It was clear he was going to be this guy, because he's a guy that was the most accomplished prospect ever walking into the NBA. I mean, this guy has played already in way bigger games than a first-round playoff series in the NBA. And yes, the NBA is the biggest league in the world, but this guy's played in the second-best league in the world, in the EuroLeague, and has played in title games for them. He was the Final Four MVP over there. And he's won international titles with his home country of Slovenia, with Goran Dragic. Since this guy was a kid, he's been doing this. So I think what we're going to learn tonight is, and I'm going to tie this back to the Warriors. I think what we'll learn tonight is, and I think we'll continue to learn this, is the future of the Western Conference. And it's going to be all centered around Luka Doncic. And I think we'll learn, what does that mean for the Warriors' future? Because the West right now is so loaded, and the Lakers probably aren't going anywhere anytime soon for the next couple of years. The Los Angeles Clippers aren't going anywhere for the next couple of years. The Dallas Mavericks are starting to arrive. They still don't have that great of a cast around Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis didn't even play the other day. And Luka single-handedly carried back the Dallas Mavericks down 20 points in the third quarter. Single-handedly did that thing on his own. And sure, he has guys like Trey Burke that are really having the biggest moments of their career playing big in these playoff games. Steph Curry's brother, Seth Curry, is having probably the series of his life. I think he's shooting 80% on the series. I mean, last game he shot 9 of 10 or something crazy like that. Wish I had the box score in front of me, but I know Seth Curry's been a big reason. He's been a big reason the Dallas Mavericks are playing. So when you look at the whole Western Conference and how talented and stacked it is, and how a lot of teams are starting to arrive. I mean, Denver the other night, Utah the other night, that game was complete bonkers. And you have two guys in Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray put up 50 pieces each. And Donovan Mitchell putting up 50 points multiple times this year. He's had the 61-point outburst in that game one. Ironically enough, the game that they lost. I mean, this is what the Western Conference is. I think, I'm not even going to say what we will learn. I'm saying what we're starting to learn. What we're starting to learn about the Warriors' future contender hopes is it's getting really difficult. I think we already knew that because obviously no more Kevin Durant and it's no longer the strength in numbers Warriors that has this deep bench with Andre Iguodala and Sean Livingston and maybe Draymond Green's not the same guy that he once was. But I think we're starting to learn more about the Warriors' hopes for still being a contender based on what we're seeing this playoffs. And I know this playoffs is very bizarre because you probably see teams playing better than they really are. They're kind of overperforming because it's in such an odd environment. And there's no real pressure of losing on the road or if you're down in a series that you really might be signing your own death certificate. Because this obviously is a world where, I mean, hell, Oklahoma City and Houston, that's the one series that really feels like, okay, this can go either direction now. Like, Oklahoma City has stormed back. Like, the way that series has trended makes you feel like they're playing in a normal playoff series. What I mean by that is it feels like, okay, Houston was home court the first two games. Then Oklahoma City came back home. Even though they were down two games, they kind of still were able to shake the momentum up, and now they're carrying the momentum. But what's different about that series is now that you've seen a team like Oklahoma City Thunder rally back the last two, this is where the bubble gets interesting. They have completely stolen the momentum in that series, and Houston isn't home two of the next three games. Like, it's not the 2-2-1-1-1 format that you see. So it would ordinarily be two in Houston, two in Oklahoma City, one Houston, one Oklahoma City, game seven in Houston. Like, it's not like that anymore. So maybe that's why teams are capable of overperforming, because no matter the talent level, it's a crazy, odd, different, unique environment. But we are learning how tough this Western Conference is. And I think the way the Warriors are looking at this is going to be very telling for us watching how they're going to handle this offseason and how they're going to handle that draft pick. And I think the more and more and more Bob Myers, Steve Kerr, the Lakers and company watch this bubble postseason, the more sure I am they're going to trade that draft pick. The more sure I am they're going to go all in on trying to bring in veteran talent, on trying to bring in the big boys. And maybe that's not necessarily bringing in a superstar, because it doesn't have to be that. Maybe it's getting back to how this whole damn thing started for them. Depth, versatility, being able to have multiple identities on the floor. You can play big, play small, put more shooters out there. Like, there's all different ways that those Warriors teams were playing back then. And I think it really all started when we saw them roll out with the death lineup for the first time in the 2015 finals, when Iguodala entered the lineup for the first time all year. Like, that's when we learned, okay, this is the way basketball is shifting. Having different identities, being able to be almost two different teams by command. By command. So I think if they can find a way to get back to having depth, getting back to throwing out different versions of themselves, then I think that's how they get back to being a contender in the West. And I'm harping on this right now because the theme of today's show is learning. What have you learned since the return of sports? And I'm focusing it right now on the NBA playoffs. And 888-957-9570, that's the Chilton Autobody text line. Nash Solomon here on 95.7 The Game from 5 to 6 a.m. This is the pregame show. I'm filling in for Stephen Langford. He's taking a few days off. So I'm riding with you guys all damn week. I hope you guys are enjoying it. I hope you love the theme. I see you guys are chiming in on the Chilton Autobody text line. We got from the 925. Shout out the 925. I live towards that direction. If Dame, CJ, and Melo can compete in the West, why would we question if Steph, Clay, and Dre can? You're right. They're competing, but they're not contending. There's a difference there. Now, they obviously had to face the Lakers in the first round. If that weren't the case, they probably are a team that can move on to the second round. I mean, I'll tell you, undoubtedly, they would be a team moving on to the second round. But that team's not a Western Conference playoff team. And a Western Conference Finals team. And last year they were, just because of the way the playoffs were structured. I mean, we all knew. I'm sure 925, you're a huge Warriors fan. You knew last year the real Western Conference Finals was Houston and Golden State in the second round. And I'm not saying the Warriors can't get back to being a perennial playoff team, because they will be. Like, that's not changing. But the standard that has been set for this Golden State Warriors team goes back to the dynasty. It goes back to titles. Once you win titles, you're title town. That's all teams expect out of you. That's all other people expect out of you. The fan base, the front office, themselves. I mean, it's not title or bust per se, but it's pretty damn close. I mean, I think next year is the one year that the Warriors have a chance to, well, you know, maybe we didn't get back into the swing of things right away. So you can't hold us for granted that we didn't get back to the finals. But I think next year's going to be very telling on who they're going to be for the years to come. Like next year, if they're a 6 or 7 seed in the West, I think we're going to kind of get an idea. Like, okay, this team's trending downwards. This team's no longer that team that was a guaranteed lock to walk to the Western Conference Finals. And I think they're going to have to address that this offseason. And I think that's one thing that we're all learning as big NBA fans and viewers of the NBA playoffs, is that they do need to make some sort of drastic change. And that drastic change isn't going to be drafting a young player like James Wiseman. Drafting a young player like my favorite player in the draft, LaMelo Ball. Even though I think he's a guy that Bob Myers has said time and time again, they want to find a guy that can hopefully carry them into the next era of Warriors basketball, but also help them win now. And I know yesterday, the theme of my show yesterday was all about the future. And being about the future was, obviously Joey Bart coming up was great for the Giants, and the Warriors got the second overall pick, and in the Bay Area is a good time to be a Bay Area sports fan because we're going through this almost generational change where we're starting to see it way different than we ever have before, at least in recent years. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that the Warriors and Giants were both winning titles, and now we're on the complete opposite spectrum of that. And one thing that I had a texter yesterday text in, he was pretty much insinuating that Bob Myers has never said that they want a guy that helps them win now. They almost do want to usher it into the next era. Because I think a lot of people I know yesterday, all over social media, we had Howard Eskin, I believe, from Philadelphia on our morning show. And he was talking about pretty much, I think I have the sound for you guys right here. He pretty much was alluding to that, hey, like I would be more than glad, obviously being someone that covers the Sixers, I'd be more than glad to ship you guys Embiid or Ben Simmons if it meant that we get the second overall pick. And in matter of fact, I have the sound right here. Here's Howard Eskin yesterday on the morning show talking about how they would trade Embiid or Simmons for that second overall pick.
Hey, if they would give him a number two pick for either one of those guys, the Sixers better walk him out to California, or either one of them. I would think that would be way too much.
And when you hear those words from who they call the king in Philadelphia, that's the king of Philadelphia sports talk, Howard Eskin. When you hear a guy like that say those things, as somebody in the Bay Area, I mean, first off, I think it's foolish. There's no way that second overall pick, especially in this draft, garners you one of those guys. That's just, it's not happening. And even if you package it with Andrew Wiggins or Draymond Green, it's not happening. Because I'll tell you what, I'm going to harp on Philadelphia for a few seconds here, and please stick with me. I promise I'll get back to the Warriors' view on this. Philadelphia literally crucified themselves. Sam Hinkie went on his life for the process. And what he was doing was, I am going to tank to bring in talent to this organization because we can't get these free agents here. We can't get back to contending. By doing that, they did get two great players. Joel Embiid is the best big man in the world, not named Anthony Davis. Ben Simmons is one of the most unique players in the world because of his ability to have that type of vision at that size and be able to play multiple positions. I know he can't shoot, but still, having those two guys, there's no guarantee that the number two overall pick can turn into one of those guys. And the Sixers know who those two guys are. Now, before they get rid of those guys, they're going to get rid of those head coach. And they did. Brett Brown is gone. And they haven't said they're going to get rid of Elton Brand, the guy that's in charge of basketball operations over there. Obviously, Clipper legends, former 76er big man. I just don't think they're going to give up on these players until they give a new coach another chance and give Elton Brand a chance to fix the team that he put around Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I mean, 2 years ago, when this Philadelphia team was on the rise, their identity made much more sense. I mean, they had Ben Simmons can't shoot, right? He's a facilitator. So what do? They put shooters around him. They had they spent $20 million on J.J. Redick. They had J.J. Redick around. They had Dario Saric, a stretch big man who has found himself a pretty good role in Phoenix with the Phoenix Suns. I mean, they put shooters around Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. because Joel Embiid's a big man that can stretch the floor, which is nice, which helps Ben Simmons have more room to operate. Now, getting back to the Warriors' view of things, I saw all over social media yesterday, after we posted that very audio, saying that the Warriors wanted to keep this second overall pick. And they were pretty much alluding to that they think there's stars in this draft. And I get it. Draft picks are exciting because anything in life that has a chance of potentially being great, it's, I think uncertainty in life is always very fascinating. There's two things I think in life that are very fascinating. I think controversy and chaos are fascinating, and I think uncertainty is fascinating. And I think I'm weird or unique for thinking that, but I think just whenever there's something that can allow for conversations to be had, allow for the unexpected to happen, I think whenever there's those things or those aspects to any various things of life, I find it interesting. So I can understand why Warriors fans want to keep the pick and not bring in a guy like Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons. But people coming down the road in the Chilton Autobody text line yesterday, 888-957-9570, saying that there's no way, and on social media, there's no way that they'll give up this second overall pick. And Bob Myers has never said that he is not thinking about trading this pick. He's not thinking about bringing in veterans. They're thinking about the draft pick. I should rephrase that. That he's not thinking about drafting a guy that can help them win now. I think you're wrong, because he was on with Bonte Stein and Guru just 2 months ago. And Matt Steinmetz asked him, how do you find the balance of drafting a guy that helps you win now versus drafting a guy for the future? And this is only half the cut, because I wanted to focus on the main point here. The first half of the cut, he talked about, well, yeah, we would love to have the guy that would help carry us into the next era of Warriors basketball, be the next pillar of this franchise. Pretty much the next Steph Curry without being who Steph Curry is. There'll never be another Steph. But this portion of the cut, he's pretty much talking about how this draft would be a success if they can find a guy that does help them win now, but maybe doesn't pan out down the road. Here's Bob Myers.
If you drafted a guy that helped you get one more championship, it doesn't matter if he doesn't pan out. As long as he can help you the next 3 years,
yeah.
I'd take that guy, you give me one more championship, and then I'd say, well, what if you took a guy and you didn't get that, but he became, forget about Curry, I don't think there's another Curry,
right,
but he became another kind of peer, you know, pillar of an organization, and he got you back there a couple times the next 10 years. I don't know, man. These things are so hard to win. Maybe you just go that way, but then you can't pass it. That's the conversation, and that's what we're going to have to figure out. We debate that internally. You guys could probably debate that when I hang up as well, is which way you shoot for both, Matt. That's the bottom line.
Right.
You try to get
right.
Both.
So, right, of course, the easy answer is you shoot for both, the way he finished that little cut right there. But the way he was mentioning it is like, hey, and this is the theory for sports always. Full disclosure, I'm a New England Patriots fan. And I remember when, speaking to the Bay Area very close here, I remember when Jimmy Garoppolo got traded and he came to the Bay. I was a little upset because the chance of, which the Patriots already are, or were, I don't know what they'll be this year, were the San Antonio Spurs of the NFL. They've had 20 years of dominance, but the chance of continuing that for another decade with Jimmy Garoppolo was very exciting for me, And the second they traded away Jimmy Garoppolo, my immediate thought was, well, man, that can be a catastrophic mistake unless this team gets another Super Bowl by holding on to Tom Brady for 3 or 4 more years, because there was no way Jimmy Garoppolo was going to sit on that bench for 3 or 4 more years. Like, you're not going to be a 28-year-old backup that has untapped potential, at least it felt like that at the time, just dwindled away sitting on the bench. But Tom Brady got them back to the Super Bowl, and he got back there multiple times, and he did win that one that we needed, that the Patriots needed. And that right there was enough to justify and validate, okay, that trade for letting go of Jimmy Garoppolo was worth it. And that's essentially what Bob Myers is saying right there. If you find a guy, maybe he's the next Andre Iguodala of this team. Maybe he's a guy that in the finals, if the Warriors get back to the NBA finals, he is a guy that can shift the whole narrative around the series. The guy that can change the whole game plan, really. And I'm talking about that 2015 finals. A guy that completely changed how we looked at that whole series, how the Cleveland Cavaliers played, how the Golden State Warriors played, and in reality, how the rest of the NBA would eventually play. The death lineup invented the modern era of basketball just as much as the way Steph Curry and Klay Thompson shoot the three ball. Pure fact. Write that down. if they can find a guy that can just be that guy that comes up big in some big playoff moments or is a really good sixth or seventh man, really good rotation man, that you can feel his presence. You can feel his dominance. You can feel his help to the Warriors' next championship. Then that right there is enough to validate that we draft the guy that won now. And maybe after that, he just goes on to be a journeyman in the NBA. That right there is enough. That right there is enough. So I think the way that things are going right now in the NBA playoffs is very, very telling of how the Warriors will handle this offseason. Now, if you asked me, I would say, you know what? They probably should trade that pick and bring in depth. But there is merit in keeping this pick and trying to find a guy that can help you right now. But I don't think drafting a guy for the future that's not going to be ready for a few years is going to be the right plan. Unless you're sure that this Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins just isn't going to be enough. And you might hopefully, or maybe it is you think they're enough and the draft pick doesn't matter right now. I mean, there's two ways to look at this. If you think that we need to bring in a lot of veterans and we have the opportunity to let this draft pick sit on the bench and we don't necessarily need him right now, then by all means, credit to them. But I don't think the Warriors have enough right now. So I do think they need to bring in more talent for immediate help. Unless Bob Myers really thinks that core is enough and we'll let this draft pick just sit around and by the time this era of Warriors basketball is done, that he will then take the keys. Similar to how Kawhi Leonard was with the San Antonio Spurs. However, he obviously helped them win immediately too. And obviously that didn't pan out the way that they hoped. But you got to find that guy. I mean, there's a reason the Spurs have had 25 years of dominance. I mean, it started with Tim Duncan, and Kawhi Leonard carried that once the Tim Duncan era kind of faded away, and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker were starting on the back end of their career. And Kawhi found his way out, and now we're learning that, look, they didn't make the playoffs for the first time in, what, 23 years? And it's because they just don't have those dominant pillars anymore. And they still were a great team. Greg Popovich, still a phenomenal coach. But, again, basketball is a star-driven league. You need your stars. You need your stars. And it's the reason why the Warriors were so awful this year. They didn't have their stars. And I see the 707 tapping in right now. Shout out the 707. Say it backwards. They're texting us in at 888-957-9570. They're saying if the Warriors draft Wiseman, they're going to regret it for a decade. And I don't know your exact reasoning behind that. I don't know if you're thinking that because you don't think Wiseman is going to be a great player. Or because you're kind of in the party of my belief that they need immediate help. And they probably should trade it for some heavy vets or maybe they should try drafting a guy that can help them win immediately, kind of an older guy. A perfect example, I mean, easier said than done, but a guy like Donovan Mitchell. I mean, he was a multiple-year collegiate basketball player. He came in right away and helped the Utah Jazz. And that Utah Jazz team was talented. They just lost Gordon Hayward, but the cast around him was a good, talented cast. And he was able to come in and be really the catalyst from a scoring perspective. And that's why I was almost like they didn't skip a beat, and they're even better now because he's progressed and transformed as a player. So I think if the Golden State Warriors, it's been the theme of the day. I said in honor of it being back to school season, what have you learned? What do you think we're going to learn? And what in the recent docket coming up or the foreseeable future that you think will be very telling? And I think for me, the way to answer all three of those questions is the way the Golden State Warriors will handle their offseason. And I think it's a pure fact. I think they're seeing how dominant the NBA in the Western Conference is right now, that they got to address this team immediately. They can't afford to sit around. They can't afford to sit around. The morning show coming up in 20 minutes. Jim Cosmore, Dan Dibley, Lorenzo Neal. On the other side, I'm going to be giving you guys Jerry Rice. That's right, the GOAT from yesterday on with the morning show. So please stay right there. It's Nash Solomon from 5 to 6 a.m. all week. Here on the pregame show, locked in right here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.